T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And here it is, another Saturday in CCO land, a holiday weekend when we talk real estate here in the Real Estate Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy with us this morning. Good to see you guys on this holiday weekend.
Yes, good morning.
What are we going to talk about? I suppose it's going to be related to real estate.
I think we probably
just
should.
Just a guess.
Yep. You know, I experienced a little real estate market a little over the pond.
Really?
In Denmark, yeah, when I was gone last week. And
did you check on any property? Is it pretty expensive in Denmark?
Well, we know a couple people over there. And, you know, as you you talked about it last week, I was listening to you at 5 p.m. Last weekend when it started. The time zone thing is a screwy thing.
It is.
I'm still trying to get used to it, and I got back on Tuesday. Mm. But anyways, I was going to say we have some people over there that we know.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of was, you know, obviously interested in the real estate. The architecture is fantastic. I mean, the history over there is something else. But the real estate is the thing that really got me. I mean, because this guy we know, he used to be the host of Dances with the Stars. He was a foreign exchange student with my wife in high school. And then he ended up going over there.
No kidding.
Yeah, and being the host of Dances with the Stars.
Can we verify these facts?
This is a fact. Facts. He's not the host right now. He was for 12 years. Yeah. But anyways, I know him. I really do. Met him at a coffee shop. But his apartment that he has, he had one bedroom with a living room. And it's all, you get the hallway, then you have doors into all these rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Second floor, you know, there's no elevators, none of that kind of stuff. A little deck off the back with a courtyard. No parking, no garage, no storage, nothing like that. $1 million.
No kidding.
$1 million.
So I'm assuming
downtown
they make,
Copenhagen.
The average income over there is what?
Well, here's
$250,000, $300,000 then?
You know, that's what I said too. And I didn't really get the answer from him because he's not doing Dance with the Stars anymore. But anyways,
sure.
He said his interest rate was like 1.6% interest only.
Then
that makes sense. And the
it
government
would have to be.
Yeah. And you don't, it's not like you don't have to pay it. It's just, it's crazy.
Mm.
It's a whole different thing, but over there it works. And very interesting. I mean, everyone's on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, said he told me, this has not been verified, but he said like, it's like 2.2 bikes, you know, per person. You
people
know,
are Googling these as you
quote
them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was really interesting because, I mean, they're 5 years old to 85 years old and they're on bikes.
Biking.
Yeah, bikes and, you know, the bus and the train. I got to learn all of them. It was pretty fun.
Well, Danny, in our world, too, we've started using new phrases like walkability. You know, like when there's, you know, you look at properties and people now are asking for, I don't want to say the complete European experience, but they want to be able to walk to the grocery store,
yeah,
buy groceries
true.
For dinner. They also want to be able to bike or walk in the parks or enjoy the outdoor amenities. And, you know, with Minneapolis, there's so many, you know, varieties of awesome things throughout the seasons to do. This is a very desirable city here, too. And I think that, you know, what you're talking about there, Chris, is really, I think, kind of cool, is where, you know, they don't need more than 1,000 square feet, but there's so many people that want it that there's demand on it. And so to keep it affordable, they've had to offer programs like interest only at 1.6%. You know, and you figure it out, and that's a couple thousand bucks a month. So it's actually very affordable. But from an investment perspective, I mean, there's probably not a lot of people buying them. If you know what I'm saying? It's like there's probably not a big appreciation on that stuff at this point. But
yeah, well, yeah. The one where my kid stays, he stays with a family that whatever. Mm-hmm. And this guy, in 8 years, it's doubled. The value of his place is doubled.
So it is still going, okay.
Yeah, huh. It's really interesting, and we didn't get into it. I was too busy walking all the time. I mean,
you didn't get on a bike.
He does look skinny.
No, I didn't. I found out the hotel had bikes after that, but and I learned how to do the trains and the buses, but my wife likes to walk, and so, I mean, we're walking all over the place.
Now, I want to ask you, coming back from Denmark, if you just tune in, we're talking real estate, believe it or not.
Denmark, yeah.
But Chris just returned from Copenhagen, and did you find as you got back to the States and here in the Twin Cities that you saw, boy, there's a lot of big vehicles here?
Oh my gosh, you're not kidding. I mean, I literally maybe saw 10 SUVs, maybe, and they were the smaller SUVs. Every car super little. I mean, for the parking, we went over to the same guy's place, and we were gonna go drive out to some of the castles, so we're going to go get his car. You know, we go outside and we walked almost 3 blocks to find his car.
Yeah.
Because there's no parking.
Wow.
It's just crazy. So,
well, I suppose there's so much historical, value there that they don't widen the roads because the houses are where they are. You know, and originally designed for probably foot traffic, horse traffic, whatever, buggy traffic. Then now you have these cars that are kind of, adding the modern conveniences, but they're really, how convenient are they if they're oversized and you can't get down the road? So,
And that's what you see a lot around here, like around lakes, because those houses developed around the lakes and they had all those, little roads that kind of went in there.
Yeah.
And now it's like around Lake Minnetonka, where we live is that, I mean, the roads, I mean, when it snows, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, I better pull over, wait for the corner someone else can get by me.
Well, those areas like that around Matamido, too, and some of those older areas that have been for years, and there's no curbs, there's no nothing. And it adds that quaint kind of majestic fun, you feel like you're out of town when you're actually in some of those areas, which is kind of cool too, which probably adds to the draw.
Yeah. So how's the market been going? I've been kind of a little I've been getting updates, but.
Denny, and I mean, we were talking last week about first-time buyers, acreage buyers. We had the Jeff Schultz team in here, and Ben and Laura were with Jeff, and it was a great show, that very informative. But, there's pent-up energy. I think that there's still, with the buyers, there's a lot of frustration. There's this. Buyers that want to buy properties, and as the properties are not available, there's a little frustration there.
I'm sure.
What's been nice, I think, for a lot of the buyers to take a little pressure off that is that when mortgage rates did soften just a titch while you were gone too, Chris. So, that gives that buyer a little more buying power or a little more comfort in increasing their offer because they can now afford a little bit more. So, I think there's some things that are happening that we're kind of, wiggling our way through going back to a normal market. And, a great example somebody gave me was, when you're driving down the freeway and let's say you're speeding, you're going through a big open area and you're doing 80 miles an hour, and then you come into a city and you have to slow down to 55 miles an hour and you feel like you could walk as fast as your car's moving. I think that's kind of where we're headed in the housing market, where it was going so fast for a while when we came out of such a deep depression that when housing started picking up, it felt like, oh my gosh, this is the way it's going to be. Housing feels like it's slowing down right now, but it's actually kind of, in my opinion, and in some of the things I've read and other people's opinions, it's just kind of transitioning back to what a normal market feels like, with a 3% appreciation, 4% on a good year, 2% on a bad year. And houses, supply and demand is good, believe it or not. As a seller, you want demand on your property so you can make that appreciation. If there's no demand and nobody wants to buy it, it doesn't. The value is arbitrary, So,
I was out yesterday and talking to a property owner that's looking to maybe make a change in what they're doing. And it's funny because it ended up in an area that was like a really good area about a month ago, because not much was on. And then in this last month, a bunch of people put on those properties in that same price range, which stops it and cools it. And then it starts getting to these people start reducing to try to get, the buyer out there. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it becomes, a buyer's market, whereas, a lot of the stuff under 300,000 is a seller's market.
Oh, for sure.
We had a listing that we put on, and I thought for sure it would have multiple offers on a Sunday after, putting on a Friday and getting through there. And after the weekend, we had only one offer. And it wasn't acceptable. And so we waited, but then we got multiple offers after a little while. So do you think maybe it's even like people are kind of just taking a breath? You know, maybe got beat out so many times.
They're fatigued. I mean, I think that's what's happening is they're like, oh, hey, here's another listing. And people are like, well, you know what? Let everybody else fight over it. I'm going to sit on the sidelines for a couple of days, watch it. If there's not multiple offers on it, then let's go take a look at it. Because I'm sick of falling in love with a house, jumping through all the hoops, getting the approval letters, getting the purchase agreement written to find out that we didn't get the property. So, yes, it's interesting that we're going through that exercise because I think that is exactly what I'm talking about. There's that pent-up energy or that frustration where people just say, you know what? I'm going to go to the lake this weekend. I don't care if 5 houses come up for sale.
I'll
deal with it on Monday.
Yeah. We had 2 people go new construction because they just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just said, forget it. I don't want to fight over them. I know I can get this and we can build, you know, and do it. And we'll wait.
We had one of the members on our team this week actually have that happen where they were out looking for a $300,000 purchase, couldn't find anything, went up to $350,000, couldn't find anything. Then they realized, hey, at $400,000, we can start getting into new construction. By the time they were done, they were at $480,000. But now that is a bucket list thing for them. Now they've got the new house being built with all the amenities that they've ever wanted. You know, they did a really cool homework station right off the kitchen for their son.
Mm.
And there's a lot of really cool amenities that they added and customized in this house. They're like, you know what? Now it's worth it for us to spend the extra dollars to get that new construction, get the warranties, not have to deal with all the maintenance right away because everything's shiny brand new.
Yeah.
And they said it was really a kind of a cool thing to see firsthand.
But how unusual to go from $300,000 to
$480,000. Well, yeah.
But that's somebody that's fiscally conservative. I mean, when they know they can afford $700,000, but they're looking for $300,000, that's why they have money.
Yep.
I guess. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We have more real estate talk coming. We're around every Saturday here on CCO in the 10 o'clock hour, and we shall return with more real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO on this holiday weekend. Chris and Andy in studio. We're talking real estate. You know, I want to ask you before you guys continue is give us that, how do we get in touch with you guys? You got that special.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I listened back to the podcast and last week I didn't plug that at all.
Well, come on.
I know. Rooney.
You know why he didn't plug it.
Because you weren't here.
He wanted it Prasky and Rooney, and I said, no one knows how to spell Prasky. So it's AndyAndRooney.com.
I kind of like that.
I do, too.
Andy Rooney was one of my favorite characters in 60 Minutes. But
it's different.
Yeah. All right. We'll mention that again before you guys leave us.
We're a different
You
crew.
Know
I was telling
I'm...
someone yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. What day? Well, it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them that they talked about the radio show. And I said, yeah, but you should see that clown that's with me all the time. I mean, the guy's nuts. And he said, and I was laughing because I had a suit on. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll come in with a suit on and he'll have flip-flops, you know. But it
works.
It kind of works.
It does
work. You know, people actually believe this guy. And so they're like, he's crazy. And they literally think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I just have a lot of energy.
You do have a lot of energy.
And I focus that towards the better good of my clients, Denny.
Yeah. You're kind of like the real estate version of The Odd Couple.
Totally.
I guess, maybe.
Totally.
In a nice way.
But it's weird, too, though. We have a lot of the same thoughts. It's just kind of how we get to them.
Well, you know? And I did. Fair enough. We had a client this week from CCO. CCO listener had me out to their house. And they said, you know, your website that you guys were promoting, they go, is it really lowercase Andy and uppercase Rooney?
Yes.
They go, and I giggled and I said, only in Chris's fantasies, but type it however you want.
Yeah.
It'll get you there.
It'll get there.
Yeah. Right.
Where do we go from here, guys?
Well, we were talking about, obviously, the market and what it's had, and maybe there's a little lax and stuff like that. And one of our big things that we have to do is we both do a lot of listing work, and it's about marketing and trying to get people into our houses. And I think sometimes, you know, I determine kind of where that who that target buyer is, and then we kind of put all our marketing focus towards that, and we know I mean, that's who we're without leaving out other people, you know, but we're kind of aiming towards that person. So we kind of start it from the beginning and then, I mean, we stick with it because I know it's going to work, you know, but it might not. Hey, it might not sell in the first week. It might not sell later. But another marketing thing is, and I know that you do this a lot, is this pre-listing.
Okay.
This pre-listing thing. And I choose not to do it, but I think we should just talk about it. Why you do it, and
as long as nobody's listening, let's talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
As we start,
maybe we should have talked
forward,
in person about this first.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of different ways that there's lots of different marketing schemes or whatever things that are out there, And one of the things that I've always taken very seriously is representing my clients in their best interests and fully embracing the fiduciary responsibilities, but yet trying to still be a professional in the industry. And so one of the things that we've done recently that is with all the websites now, and I'm not trying to discredit our local MLS system, but I'll tell you what, I am not 100% behind the MLS anymore. And the reason being is that the MLS holds days on market. It holds our pricing. There's a lot of things that are held that can, in my opinion, hurt my seller. And so what I do is with the idea that I'm trying to help my client out and not necessarily put them in harm's way. Let's say, for example, there's a house that's $395. We think it's worth $385. We want to try to experimentally sell it and see if somebody would take it at $395. So we go out there, we do our marketing, we try it. If it doesn't work, I don't want that failure, for an example, but I want to still prove to my client that, hey, we tried to get this number, we exposed it to all of these different audiences, and we're not having any luck. Would you like to list with that price on the MLS then, where everybody knows what the price is in every fashion and every website?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting point, because what does happen when it goes on the MLS, mm-hmm. and you do that $395 and say you're starting at $395, I mean, all of that stuff is getting recorded. So if you go on Zillow and you look down there and look over the history, right. it'll say, hey, it was $395 on, you know, April 17th.
Right.
And now it's $385 on May 17th.
Right.
And so what you're saying is that's not advantageous to your seller.
Correct. It's building up a case against them that they don't know what they're doing, or they overpriced their house, and now it's an opportunity for somebody to come in and lowball them. Versus I'm saying it's kind of an experiment that it's expensive for us to do this. I mean, it's not like it's free. I mean, we're out there marketing and paying a lot of money to get those properties out there through different social media sources, or we do predictable analytics where there's properties that are identified as potential buyers in the area, and we're strategically marketing to those property owners. So, you know, there's a lot of cool technology behind it. But here's the other thing. I don't want to feed the beast that hurts us. And so, like, for an example, that same house, now it's listed on Zillow, and I'm saying names because I'm being open. I'm being honest. Prove me wrong. Zillow, call the show and prove me wrong. Let's say that Zillow says the house is worth $375. I know that the market's ahead of that. And so what'll happen is the consumer, when they're trying to do their research before they meet a real estate agent, which, by the way, Denny, they're saying that over 50% find their own house online but aren't comfortable making the offer with the listing agent. So 87% of those people will go out and hire an agent to actually buy that house.
Wow. Quite a statistic.
Yeah, but they like to do their research on their own. I totally get it. It's kind of like shopping cars. I don't want to go in and talk to 15, you know, car salesmen.
Right.
I want to actually go in and do my research first. And then when I go talk to that salesman, I'm prepared and educated. So Zillow has been one of the number one sources for people with the clicks. They pay for tons of advertising on TV, radio, and people go there. What I don't like is that they have information there that sometimes is inaccurate and that the consumer uses that against my client. And so, again, this is where this – I'm putting the information out there on Facebook, for an example, saying, you know, coming soon, not in the MLS perspective,
but it's
coming soon, bring you and your agent. So if I identify you as a client that potentially, based on your clicks on Google or whatever, even if you're under a contract, that's not the point. The point is to get the information in front of that client. And then that client says, you know what, let's go see this house. Just like they do with every other website, they call their agent and then the agent calls to set up a showing. We show that property. They have the opportunity to buy that property. We will sell that property, and we don't have to necessarily go to the traditional MLS system.
Yeah.
And we've done so much research on that house, we know what it's worth. So it's not like we're leaving money on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, just kind of for some background of it, when you're pre-listing a house on the market as a realtor, that's part of the MLS, we have a thing that's called a withhold from MLS.
Right.
And that, so your seller has to agree to it, you know, and it's a marketing strategy in which you're doing. Now, my
opinion, it's not, Denny, it's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
People confuse that and they say that, well, geez, I saw this house online for sale. They can't do that. It's against the rules. It's not against the rules when you have the withhold from MLS.
As long as the seller agrees.
And the seller agrees.
Oh, okay.
And this withhold from MLS agreement, we could actually talk about the whole show on that. It talks about how you're missing opportunities, how you're leaving money on the table. There's, you know, millions of people that won't see your house by doing that this way. My point is this: if your house is going to appraise at $385, we sell it for $385, what are you missing?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you get a cash buyer. If we're in an opportunity where we have a cash buyer, we may then not choose that route of marketing. But if it is not a cash buyer potential, then I say you're at the mercy of an appraisal anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, and a lot of people are using that darn appraisal to try to get out of things too.
Absolutely.
But anyways, I kind of look at it like you were just saying, you know, I'm kind of one of those that why wouldn't you get it out to absolutely everyone at the same time? Mm-hmm. Now, I think there is some cases that pre-listing works a little better. And when I say that is maybe that house isn't quite ready yet, mm-hmm. but that market segment's really doing good. And now you can get that out there, and they might overlook some of those things that if you put it live on the market, they wouldn't overlook.
Right.
You know what I mean? So let's just say they haven't got everything cleaned out of the garage yet. And you don't want to go that way, or maybe mm-hmm. one of the rooms isn't painted. And
right.
you're also seeing on the market that, hey, you pull up Champlin between 250 and 3.25, and there's 12 listings on there, and all of them have an A with a little I next to them. So they're mm-hmm. all on inspection.
Yep.
And so there's people out there that need that. Now you throw that out there, you create that excitement,
mm-hmm.
and then now you can take advantage of that excitement that the other listings have created for you.
Exactly.
And it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that some of the real estate agents that have been around a long time start saying, well, you're not being a proactive professional agent. I disagree 100%. Actually, I disagree 1,000% because when I have the information of a listing and I put it in the hands of the real estate agents that are in that area, I'll go to the top agents in that marketplace that are identified as being top agents. I also go to the brokers and say, please share this information. We want you to bring us a buyer. And so we're going to it old school. We're working harder for the client going old school to go around the system. But the whole idea is, and then, like I said, we're working harder to avoid the troublemaking websites that are out there. The other thing that I struggle with, Denny, is that when, and I'm not trying to fight the system. I'm just saying currently, and we adjust our programs all the time. When you look at the current systems, there's so many people that click online to a website that has, you know, it's basically a bait click. They're clicking on it. You go into a lead wheel, and then some agent pays money or you know, gets the lead.
That's how that works.
And they're meeting in the driveway, so there's not really true representation. So for me, that's where I struggle.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. We have more show to come here on this holiday weekend. Hope you stay with us. It's the Memorial Day weekend here on 830 WCC. So we're talking real estate, and we will do more of the same. Stay with us here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO on this holiday weekend. We are around talking real estate every Saturday here on CCO in the 10 o'clock hour. If you're just joining us, Chris and Andy in studio, where do we go next here? This is a fun show.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about pre-listing and, you know, Andy, you got some really good points there in what you're doing. And I think when people are saying...
No.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna even help you here more.
Oh wow!
Your point.
I'm not used to handling positivity.
This is weird. I know. I meant crazy in a good way.
Yeah, I know.
That's small letters, Andy and capital Bernie. But on the pre-listing thing, you know, I think when you're saying that some agents don't think that's professional, mm-hmm. is what I think they're trying to say is that you're trying to hog it and get a buyer for it. Rather than doing what's best for your seller. But in fact, that's not what you're doing.
It's the opposite, yeah.
Exactly. You're trying to do what's best for your seller.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You might be testing something at a certain price.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be. You might be, hey, we're just kind of creating it. Or you might be trying to take advantage of a market that's proven out there that it's good and to get your client more money. And so I think that's a big thing. And everyone does marketing a little different. And that's why you should talk to different agents and see what it is. You know, there's so many things. There's in it, once you, hey, totally agree with that person, mm-hmm. how it is. I think a lot of people on listings come in and say, you know what, Andy, I can get you 450. I'll get you 450 all day long.
Yep.
And then once they list it, the things they're trying to do is get it reduced the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I have a real hard time.
Sells,
I have a really hard time selling something unless I believe in it. You know, it's too hard in which to be able to do.
Right.
And so when I have to believe in it. I got to believe in our marketing strategy. I got to believe in the price.
Of course.
To be able to kind of get it out there. But I think, you know, but there's some people that, hey, we want to try. We want to list it at this. And there might be some theories behind, you know, how people do that as well.
Sure.
You know, and from a... from a standpoint of, you know what, hey, maybe we are going a little higher to the market,
right.
but there's a reason that we're doing it.
Well, and who am I to say, you know, let's say that you have $1.5 million house and we say that on an appraisal basis, it'll appraise at 750. Well, maybe we find that buyer that's a cash buyer that'll write a check up for $1.5 million. And so what I've always said is that I listen to my clients, I work for my clients, and they put me to work for them. And one of the things that I'd strongly recommend that all the local MLSs so that they don't have to go away, because I think that there's a lot of pressure coming up from the brokerage model saying that they want to go around, they want to do this. They don't want to have that inevitable dump it in here. It goes out to everybody. There's no control of your listing. There's no control of what your client has to go through. It's at the mercy of what we decide who we syndicate to. I think that the smartest thing that the MLS could actually get into is where they start controlling what is syndicated to. There's an argument there. People have been sued over this, saying that that's public information. I'm saying that we should be allowed to represent a client the way the client wants to be represented. Maybe they don't want their information to be public. Maybe they only want it to go to certain audiences. And I think that as we start recognizing that not every deal is cookie cutter, that every deal, you know, in a custom sale or a custom price point or whatever, we need to do what's best for the client always. And so, you know, and when we stop doing that, then we're actually not doing them a service. And that's where it's like, what are we for?
Yeah, and the MLS has obviously evolved big time. No, and it used to be a private society, and we could only share with each other, and no one could get it, and la, la, la.
And now, and I'm not, I'm just saying that I think it's time, one more time, and I'm asking publicly, and I know that's kind of, you know, blunt, I'm asking publicly that they start making more changes quickly so that guys like myself and gals like myself that are out there selling properties and trying to really take their fiduciary responsibility in that capacity, that they help us versus become our enemy.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about syndication, and that's what happens. And I think a lot of people, I mean, I know we get it when it goes out and syndicates and they said, hey, on homes.com, it says we only have 3 bathrooms. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about that. You know, it syndicates from it, and it might read whatever comes out of the MLS wrong. And so it might say, you know, there might be 4 bathrooms, but that one counts them as, you know, half, three quarter, and full. Mm-hmm. There might be 2 half baths, and they'll say, oh, that's only 1, so there's only 3 baths.
Right.
And we can't change that. We don't have the ability to change that.
The other one that I actually have had several people ask us about, Denny, is like, you know, some of the other bigger sites that are out there, the local brokerages, and the way that their website uploads the MLS data may scramble the pictures, for an example. So all of a sudden it shows the listing picture as being your bathroom instead of the front of the house. And that's that individual company's problem. It's not the MLS's problem. The MLS puts it out in a format that says, here's the way it is. So that when we send it out, this information to you, hopefully your website receives it, automatically uploads your system, and everything works fine. But sometimes there's glitches in the system. Mm. And so that's where you'll see that, guys. And so like Chris and I have said this over the years, I can't control those websites. Hence part of the problem. Like if I continually have a problem with a certain website where my client calls me and says, hey, my house looks terrible on this website that I like, don't get it to them. You know what I mean? Or tell them that they have to fix it. But there's nothing I can do because it's public when we go to the MLS. Yeah.
And one of the duties that one of my admins has, one of their duties is to go look at all of our listings mm-hmm. on a certain website to make sure that it didn't screw it up. Mm-hmm. And we have to go in and then put in a ticket to be able to get it changed because it does. And what happens is that it might go, the MLS might go to, say, realtor.com, then to homes.com, and then mm-hmm. from homes.com it syndicates to, you know, house.com, whatever.
Right, yeah.
And all of a sudden, by the time it gets to house.com, it got the information screwed up, mm-hmm. and there's nothing we can do about it. But, I mean,
or it resizes photos, or it does. Yeah. You know, so anyway, there's your job has changed is what you're saying, and I agree with you 1,000,000%. As a real estate agent, it's our job to manage that public profile and on all different formats. It's like our job is, you know, I had somebody say, well, you used to have to look everything up in the books, and you drove all over, and it was archaic. Well, now there's all this technology. The technology's made it 4 times more managing than it used to be because we manage that public image.
We think it's supposed to be easier.
It's supposed to be easier, but it actually creates more problems because all of these wild cowboys that are out there saying, hey, I got the best website for clicks here, you know, click here and get a free home inspection, whatever, and that website makes their house look bad, you know, and not always. There's a lot of great companies out there. There's lots of great syndicators out there, and I do use that process when I get to that point in the marketing where I think that it's appropriate. But I don't always lead with it as well.
Yeah, but you don't always just pre-list your properties either. I mean,
no.
Obviously the MLS is there because it's a very successful program, and that's how most of our houses get sold through. But again, there's just different ways in which to be able to market.
You think maybe if you were to observe what I just said, it's more of a I like to have the control of how my property is viewed online because I'm very sweet, like you said
right.
in the beginning.
And
we're
not in control.
We're not using that shotgun approach anymore. Mm. We're using the rifle approach where we're looking for a target audience. And sometimes the shotgun approach where everybody knows about it isn't a good strategy in the beginning.
Yeah. But and then on some on other hands, people are using pre-list as a way to which to get buyers too.
Well,
I mean, that's what they're doing.
100%. You know, or like right now, Denny, let's say, for example, we put your house up for sale. You have a pool. We can now go out there and look and find through Google, like all the people that have looked for houses saying houses for sale in Eden Prairie with pools. I can put my product in front of that you know, client. And that's looking, we can actually buy that lead necessarily, have our stuff popping up in front of those people. So it's very strategic. It's not guessing anymore. Now it's more or less thinking about who's our target audience, like Chris was saying earlier, finding that target audience and making sure that we get the exposure for our clients in front of that audience.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, thank you.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We have more real estate talk straight ahead here. And we're around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830 on this holiday weekend. Chris and Andy in studio. Well, we have a few minutes left in the show. What do we do next?
Well, I was going to say, if the MLS has any questions, they can go to Prasky.com. And if they want to contact our show, it's andyandrooney.com.
If the Department of Commerce has any questions for Chris Rooney.
Oh, I talk to them all the time. Yeah. Anyways, how about let's give a few little tips. We're running into it all the time.
I'll just say this. Oh. We both love our industry. That's why we do this show. We love helping people. We have it. It's almost like a passion for us to want to better the industry that we're in. And I think that's why we're so passionate about what we, or at least I am. I don't know about you, but I mean, we take our jobs very seriously.
But I think over the years, we've gotten a little more, we've gone out there a little more. I mean, we used to be really kind of like non-controversial, but now.
Yeah, I don't think I'm being controversial. I think if anything, you look at it as we're being pro-consumer.
Yeah.
And what is the best for that consumer and why are they hiring us? Because I'm the first one to sit down with somebody and say, why am I here? You know, if you could do for sale by owner yourself, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could save thousands. If you know how to do the marketing, you know how to syndicate it, you know how to find a buyer, you know how to negotiate, you know, contract law, let's do it. But if you don't, I'm a good guy.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you what, and there's different ways in which to market. And like I said before, and I think it's real important that, I mean, even like with this show, I mean, we don't always agree with each other and how we're doing things. And that there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
that's good. I mean, but in the end, it's, hey, do what's best for your clients.
Isn't that why there's 1.6 million of us across the country?
Yeah. God help us. But anyways, yeah. Let's talk about some little tips. I mean, we're going into houses and a lot of people. I mean, I went into, over the last month, quite a few of them, and people have different options. And they say, hey, you want to spend 10 grand to try to make 25? No, I don't want to spend any money. But there's other ways in which to be able to make money. And typically it comes down to the kitchens and usually bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the things you can do that don't cost you a ton of money is to be able to kind of declutter and clean. But let's talk about like in the kitchen.
You know, I think, you know, that, and that's a great spot between that and the master bathrooms and things. You know, I a lot of times will start with something as simple as lighting, you know, making sure that the rooms are appropriately lit or that you're setting the mood for that room. So it's not, maybe you have the big gymnasium, you know, fluorescent lights that you like, but I'm telling you, a lot of times that doesn't make the kitchen look necessarily beautiful. So you may go back to a different strategy, change out the light fixtures, update some of the hardware, because hardware is probably one of the easiest. A new backsplash is a nice, quick, easy, you know, actually I'm doing that right now. Suburban Styles, we had those guys out this week again, and they're helping us redecorate our kitchen. So I'm actually going through this as we speak. They also suggested painting, refurnishing the floor, you know, having that refurbished as well. So there's a lot of things for a couple $1,000s. All of a sudden I can make my kitchen look shiny, brand new again.
Well, and here's the thing too, is when you have those old, the older cabinets, you know, you put a little Renew on them or some Murphy's oil, you know, to kind of bring them out. But what happens is when you start throwing on like hardware and light fixtures, that's what they'll use to justify, hey, we can always paint those cabinets.
Right.
You know, and, but gosh, I mean, that hardware just gives it away. But if it's still the old brass hardware, you know, the brass hinges and it's got the real dark oak, you know, then people are like with a cute mauve countertop for Formica countertop, you know, it just kind of it throws them off.
It's been crazy, though, to me, too, you know, talking about the colors. I mean, we're back to 70s colors and then we go to the all whites again and then we go back to the 70s colors. It's one of those things where, you know, the trends, I'm always like cautious. I will tend to want it to look updated, but the last thing I'll do is, you know, replace obviously the cabinet or whatever. But like you talked about, refacing is a great way to do it. Put some new doors on there, reface the cabinets, new skins, because they're solid, well-built cabinet. You can repurpose them, which also makes you feel good, too. So, you know, you're not just throwing away a beautiful old cabinet. But on the other hand, I think that just clean decluttering, adding some color, some of those things can make a kitchen not be a stopping point. So when somebody's coming through that house, they walk in and go, wow, this is cool. Next room, That's all you want. You don't necessarily want them to stop in their tracks and go, wow, what am I going to do to make this room likable? You want it to be just nice enough to where they like it and then move on.
Right. And I always try to find out, okay, what is this house? What is the big sale point of this house?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it becomes just don't make these other things destroy it for it. You know
right,
what I mean? So
right.
Sometimes your basement's probably not finished, but you got a great kitchen. You know, we're going to really maybe make that extra great, mm-hmm. and then they'll justify the basement. You know what? We never go down there anyways. The kids will just be playing down there. We can always finish it when Johnny goes into seventh grade.
Right.
You know, yep. kind of a thing. So they justify it, but they're like, oh, my gosh, look at – I mean, and let's face it, the kitchen is where you are every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's when people come over, that's where they hang out. You know, I mean, unless you've got a – I've got a listing, though, that in a basement that I – swear to God, I would hang out down there all the time. And that's unusual.
It's a rubber room
or
what?
It's the coolest
bar. What's so special about it?
It's just awesome. I mean, it's got
no windows.
The bar. I mean, it was probably $250,000 worth of finishes in the basement. And it's just amazing. But it's real comfortable, you know, good little sitting areas, exercise room, because you know how much I love to exercise.
I know. It shows.
It is.
You know, I was just going to say to you, we had a listing this week that actually we're going to bring on here in a couple of weeks. That I was thinking about you, Chris. We were walking through this house, gorgeous house, you know, 5,700 finished square feet, and we're walking through, and all of a sudden in the kitchen, I stop and I look to the right and I go, is that a professional grade pizza oven? And they said, it is. And they go, this is a, you know, an $8,000 investment.
Gee.
I mean, it takes 3 hours to heat it. It's actually a real pizza oven. I go, Rooney would live here at this island making pizzas.
But I'll tell you what.
I'd be right with you, though.
Yeah, but those are I always call those that those are memorable points, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can get one of those, you know, hey, remember the pizza oven house?
Mm-hmm.
You know that it keeps bringing you back to it. So I think that's where
back in
house?
The day when I was working with Nisley Construction way back. I had Gary and Becky Nisley, worked with them for years, way back. And I mean, gosh, it's been I shouldn't say that because they're still young chickens themselves. But we used to intentionally do that with our models. They would actually have like a Miele coffee maker where it grinds the. And so we'd have people coming in, and we also would do like the warming trays,
sure.
Where in the bathrooms, to throw your towels in there, so that when the morning you wake up, you have this nice warm towel. And I was like, God, these are some cool things. We had people coming back years later saying, we could never forget you guys. You had those cool little features, and it doesn't cost a lot to do it to get that attention.
Yeah, you know, different marketing things. I was gonna say one. I know we got to go, but we're gonna do one on Prior Lake, the end of June. But it's with Mike Lynch, and we're doing a Stargazer event.
Oh, yeah, Star Watch.
Andy Lindis said his wife was there and did a Star Watch with Mike Lynch.
Yeah.
And he says, gosh, you should do that at one of your you know, upper bracket homes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm giving
him
credit for
that. It's a great idea.
Yeah, and so we're going to do that, but then have an open house later at night. And so you can kind of get it from the night, but I don't know if you've seen – have you seen his stuff? I mean, I showed you those.
I did.
Those telescopes
it's ridiculous.
Are like,
they're the size of a small
people
car.
People love it. People love it.
Yeah. So just hope it doesn't rain or cloudy that
That's a great idea to have it at night, another open house at night.
Yeah,
that's
and
a great idea.
Kind of do something different.
You guys are filled with good ideas.
Hey, every once in a while.
Let's save some for more next week.
Awesome.
By the way, have a safe Memorial Weekend, the rest of it, guys.
You do the same.
It was good to see you. Thanks very much. We'll be back again next week. Hope you join us then in the 10 o'clock hour for more real estate talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.